Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
All right, y'all, take off your shirts, get your nipple clips, pull down your pants, because you're about to get an edging.
Turn on some Law & Order SVU a la Captain Sandy, staring at Mariska, Cheeto fingers.
Cheeto. Now you see, because of Kalani, when we say Cheeto fingers, now it's a whole different
thing. This is Love is Blind Season 2. Otherwise known as the influencer season, but it was messy as fuck.
Ironically, we're edging you because we're preparing you for season 4 of Love is Blind. That's dropping on Netflix on what day? March 24th. March 24th. Episodes will drop the day after.
It's your own personal trash advent calendar.
Yes.
Yes.
And this, you know, we didn't like this season of Love is Blind of season 2. However,
we had fun talking about it.
We talk about it probably more than any other season now.
I agree with you. A lot of them winded up on that show, Perfect Match.
But don't spoil it for people because they want to know what if they haven't watched Love is Blind and they don't know.
Okay, look, Perfect Match is everywhere.
Well, I'm just saying.
They need to fucking come out of their caves.
Maybe they don't know about Shane and Natalie and they don't know and they're wanting to.
Oh, and you may not, you know. About young Gary Busey, who's looking for werewolves.
Y'all, it's a weird season. We go rogue, but we hope that you enjoy
Very rogue.
Very rogue. We will tell you this. Season 4 of Love is Blind is, I think, four episodes. It's the best season of Love is Blind we've had so far.
I kind of agree with you.
It's really good. So, And
especially, who thought that Cocaine Bear was going to join the cast? Sorry, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Netflix won't get us for that. I will say this, the After the Altar, which we cover that too, but the After the Altar of season 2 was the best After the Altar.
Because it was super, super messy.
Super messy. So, y'all, enjoy the ride. We had a ball covering it. This was previously just on a Reality Gates Plus, but now it's for all of you on this free feed. Enjoy our season 2 of Love is What, Poodle?
Blind.
All right, 90 Day. Okay, Love is Blind, take one.
Love is blind.
Love is blind.
Love is blind. Okay, it's over. This season is over, and we have a new queen of the tell-all, and that is Vanessa fucking Lachey.
Okay, the idea I had to start this show was Vanessa fucking Lachey for the motherfucking win. I love this woman. I stand her. I don't know if you noticed, I already Instagram messaged her.
I know you did, and you do it late at night after I can tell you've been drinking Kate Hudson.
We're going to get blocked.
That happens, y'all. We get blocked a lot because she drinks and she Instagrams.
I get overly familiar with people because I'm drunk.
They don't care. They don't give a shit about you.
No, and I act like they're my friends. But Vanessa Lachey, and honestly, Nick Lachey. He had really kind of, he had some great moments too.
You can tell she was really heated and invested, and she needed to say a couple things.
She did, but
she came with things. She came with opinions, and I loved them.
I loved them. Also, I will say, if you did not get a little bit of a boner whenever Nick Lachey fucking told Deep what's, or told Shakes what's up, then you're not attracted to men.
Ooh.
That was.
I don't know if I would make it a qualification that says you're not attracted to men.
No, because I was more than 98. I was more than 98 degrees. I was like 101 when he was talking.
Does his face look different to you? Yes, he's aged. He's had a little bit of work done and has made him look slightly different.
I think he has had good work done.
Okay, maybe because he just looks a little different.
There's another male who had work on the show who looks better too.
Oh, right.
Y'all, Nick got Botox and it looks good.
She did.
She did
get Botox.
Because Nick Lachey and other Nick and me, we all kind of have that same like forehead of like Frankenstein. So as we get older, we look like we're upset all the time. That's why I get Botox, because it just kind of calms things in my frown lines for me.
Nothing wrong with Botox, but I'm also saying you don't have to get it.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. God, Vanessa, this is what I wrote.
Vanessa, by the way, this is Reality Gaze. We really should do better about debt. This is Reality Gaze recap of the every podcast I listen to. They're like, "Welcome to blah blah blah." No one does what we do. It must be really maddening for people who are just listening.
They're
so
like, "What am I
do better about that?"
I don't know. We just get excited about the, because we really have turned a corner, and that y'all, we really don't talk about shows we don't love anymore. If we don't love it, we're gonna stop. So we just get excited about.
We just stop.
Like Below Deck,
I don't give a shit.
Below Deck was doing badly, but then now Selling Yachts come back.
I'm saying this now. If Below Deck OG sucks after three episodes, we're not doing it.
I agree. I say the same for Med.
Yeah, but Med has the cringe factor that was helpful this season.
Well,
they have the cringiest guests and the cringiest captain.
No, if Captain Sandy's still on there, then I think we'll just have to do it. But
Sailing Yacht's great, though.
It's great. But y'all, Vanessa Lachey is all of us. That's who she is, y'all. That's who she is in this tell. She is all of us. She is all what we've
been
thinking. She is all what we've been thinking, what we've been feeling. I would watch the Vanessa Lachey talk show, I've decided after this. I'm like totally on board with this woman. And I love her.
I normally don't do a 180 on people. And I'm 180'd. She 180'd me.
I'm a huge fan. I don't think we should clarify.
I just thought there wasn't a lot there.
We didn't dislike her. We were just kind of like, yeah, Vanessa Lachey. No, y'all.
There's a lot in there.
There's a lot.
We just never heard her. We just never heard her be able to speak her. Because in the season one reunion, she did have something to say, I feel like, but she didn't quite come for people in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But she was, it's interesting. I just, I loved everything she said. So she did well. I think she even tried to say, that's not what really this is about. You'll get your chance. She actually did a really good job refereeing too.
She did. She did a great job of saying, oh, you said that. That's made me think differently. I didn't think about
that.
It was.
Yeah, Sean Robinson, get on this train. I know you got the producers in your ear, honey, but we could use a little bit more like, well, I guess we'll have to leave it there. I wish you the best. We could use, we're all thinking about you.
We'll see where this ends up.
Before we get into it.
Yes. Yes.
Let's talk about looks.
Yes, let's talk about looks.
I believe the producers may have suggested we wear jewel tones. I don't know if anybody got that memo.
I think they did.
It was to a. I still think this production company must be run like an Eastern Bloc country. They must set the rules must be so. And the thing is, Vanessa Lachey looked the best because she wasn't in those kind of like rigid red, blue, green.
I thought she looked the best, and I thought Natalie looked the best. What I thought
is Natalie looked good.
I thought the way they also this is just an the lighting was horrible.
Oh, wasn't it?
Like Vanessa, I was watching on my iPad. I kept turning up the iPad because I thought my iPad screen wasn't at full brightness.
It was it was dark.
Vanessa Lachey and Nick were not well lit.
No, and everyone else was.
Everyone else was, but they weren't. But,
weirdly, the men weren't well lit.
No.
The women were well lit. The men, and it could be what they had, what they were wearing. Because a lot of the men were wearing black. Shake was just there in a fucking t-shirt.
It wasn't great. It wasn't good lighting. But I will say, I felt like they were all dressed like they were going to a Friday night event at a conference for dental hygienists. It was very boring. It wasn't except for Deep. Deep had like this beautiful
sequiny. Color
in the sequiny. But I felt like everybody else was just dressed very. Blah. Instead of, and maybe we're just used to watching.
I think Ayana was trying to be forward fashion, but it didn't work. The whole thing over her and the dress wasn't cut well.
At least her and Jarrett, they looked like they were on trying to be reality people instead of everybody else didn't seem like reality. It just seemed like normal clothes people would wear. I did like Iana's hair. That was really cute. Like totally gives her a different look.
I'm not sure. I like her better with short hair. I liked the braids, but for a minute I was like, who is that?
I think there's like a, what I liked about is her short hair. It gives her this pixie-ish and childlike quality. And I kind of like that she's like, I don't know, changing up.
The men looked fine. There was definitely some socks or a lack of socks
well,
that's on the male side.
I know that bothers you, but that is the style right now.
So you're wearing socks. You're wearing no socks.
No, I wear socks, but I'm just saying that is I'm just saying you're old.
I don't like it.
Because all the young kids, that's what they're doing now. If you look at your friends' high school kids going to prom, they're all wearing no socks if they can.
Why are you looking at people's kids going to prom?
Well, I'm not. But on your Facebook feed, actually not prom. My friends just say all just had winter formal. So that was a big thing. They just did the winter formal.
They have kids who are old enough to go to formals?
Poodle, we have friends that are grandparents.
Yeah, but I don't talk to any of them.
Yeah. And there we are. All right. Let's jump. We are going to say, y'all, a couple quick things. One, y'all, Pig Royalty is coming back.
Pig Royalty! March 16th.
March 16th, it's coming back. What we're going to do, y'all, because Pig Royalty, this doesn't affect y'all, but if you're new, we're going to put Pig Royalty, actually, we're going to do, it's now on Animal Planet on television, like for free or on cable. So we're going to put Pig Royalty, we're actually going to drop those on our free feed for people.
Because it's airing on,
what we're doing with Discovery Plus content with TLC.
Single.
So we're going to do
life.
That, yeah. And which tier is Pig Royalty at again?
Well, here's the thing. It was at the $8 tier to start out because we didn't know how many episodes it was going to have. It looks like it's going to be an 8-episode arc. If they fuck me with 10 episodes, I'm going to be very upset. But how we decide on where things are in a tier, you guys, is basically time investment for us. Mm-hmm. You might think it's willy-nilly, but I promise we do think it out. So I think we're going to move it down to the $5 tier, because that's where our binges are, like Love is Blind. But I think that's what we're like, again, if they have 10 episodes, we're going to move it back to the $8 tier because it should be a shorter, the $5 tier is supposed to be more of the, binges.
So that's having y'all also.
Okay. And one other announcement, because Love is Blind is ending, we did see at the very end of this, episode, which is shameless, I have to say.
Shameless.
But I understand why they did it. It's the same producers, same creators.
Same host.
Same host, the Lachey's, are doing the show The Ultimatum. The Ultimatuntum. The That's Ultimatum.
Y'all, it looks good.
This show is a troll show, but I'm there for it, and we will be recapping it. We will be doing it at this tier. So if you're thinking, I liked hearing these queens talk about Love is Blind, but fuck them, I'm outie. Y'all, this show.
If you don't think we're covering that show, then you are sadly mistaken.
Oh, both of us just kind of decided. We weren't even going to talk to the other.
We didn't even decide independently. Like
I already put it on the schedule.
Yeah, we're doing it.
So let me just tell you the premise and then we'll get on with the show. Okay, it's couples. This is kind of like Temptation Island a little bit. There are couples who have been they're not sure they want to pull the trigger for marriage. So they've been kind of waiting. They're going to pair them up with people who could be matches for them and make them live with them.
For 3 weeks.
And then they have to choose.
It looks good. It looks very good. It looks very good.
It's a little cruel, but I'm here for it.
It's not cruel because people sign up to do it.
That's true.
So I hope that, you know, what I hope actually with Love is Blind, I kind of want the Lachey's to be involved a little bit more after this. Like, I would love...
No, they need to do counseling. They need to be, like, yes, marriage at first sight judges.
That's what I think, too.
Get in there and check in with them.
That is the one critique, is I think Love is Blind. I think 4 episodes of just the pods is too short. I really think they need to have, like... I think they could make this very easily a 12 episode show and have 6 episodes in the pods and 6 episodes outside the pods with consulting from the Lachey's.
I agree. I think that would, for the producers, I think that would be giving the Lachey's way more input than they probably want them to.
Probably. Yeah, I agree.
Because I feel like this production team, y'all, holds everything with an iron fist.
Yeah,
and,
I feel like that too. There's going to be goblets on ultimatums. Did you see? There's goblets.
But they're silver, not gold. Silver,
not gold, y'all. So, oh boy.
We got to get it. We got to go on. So y'all, we will be doing that show at the current Love is Blind is on the $5 and that show will also be on the $5 Patreon.
So y'all, March and April are going to be good fucking months on our Patreon. Between Pig Rolls and
April 6th.
Pig Royalty and Love is Blind, as Poodle and I said, Love During Lockup, though. This season 4 preview was really good, too. But anyway, a lot of good content, y'all. A lot of good content this month. It's good to be a podcaster right now talking about shit TV.
It's good to be someone who peddles in trash right now. It's good to be a trash sifter. It's a good time. Woo. Good time to be alive.
All right, let's jump into this.
What a time to be alive.
So, y'all, let's just jump into this. This reunion starts. And
Shane is already pacing in his seat like a gorilla, y'all.
He's already blind. Shake is already starting to just, like, vomit up. Like, if Vanessa Lachey is the hero of this episode, Shake is not even the villain.
No, he's the court jester.
He is the court jester who gets killed first in Game of Thrones, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just I watched this and I went, and I get it, y'all. Vanessa Lachey is mad too that she thought Shake got undouched and then went back to
She said as much. She's like, I thought you had changed.
He didn't.
It tells you, you guys, it's still so interesting to me that we all, there are very few people, there are some of you who's like, no, I knew he'd never change, blah, blah, blah. But boy, the editing really led us there. And we can look back now and say, Shane and Shake got really good edits to make them look less gross.
Shane
on the
came
show.
Out better.
He did.
He did better on this reunion than we thought. So I actually feel like, in my opinion of this, of if you ask who did the worst and who did the best, I actually think Shake did the worst. And I actually think Shane came out the best for him, for, like, thinking of on this reunion.
To save his own face.
To save his face, yes.
I agree with you, because I felt like he was being pretty real.
I did too.
He was miserable.
He was miserable.
He did not want to be here, you guys.
He did not. And just the
you
fact
could tell.
That when he was having to watch the whole Shane Ugh. And Shayna conference, he wanted to literally crawl out of his skin. Also, y'all, I gotta like Shane a little bit more because, y'all, he fucking hates Shake. He fucking hates him.
He was really the only one. The girls were going at Shake, but all the other guys kind of back. Jarrett, to an extent, did say, but Shane just would not let it go.
And whereas Kyle was trying to like get more screen time, and Sal, y'all,
to show off his nose ring.
It's true. And Sal was just in the corner, pissed off.
He didn't want to be there either.
He didn't want to be there either. Yeah.
Neither did Mallory. She was just over in the far side in that in a nondescript green dress with her hair de-poofed.
I don't like it. I like her hair curly. It's much prettier. Anyway, okay. So they kind of, they first start, Nick totally like jumps in and asks Shane, and he said, you know, they're talking about Shane and Natalie, and there's a little bit of they asked Natalie what was it like for her to hear that, and obviously Natalie kind of gives the normal answer that it was hard for her to hear this. But Nick turns to Shane, Nick Lachey, we should probably say Nick Lachey so people
aren't
confused.
Easier, yeah.
Nick Lachey turns and says, you know, Shane, you had a big moment, but you know, when you heard that when you thought Natalie was Shayna, instead of apologizing, Nick Lachey actually says, you totally gaslit her.
Yeah.
And Shane just is like,
that's what happened.
But that set the tone of this reunion, and that like Sean Robinson, or they would say, do you think you could have done something like, but no, these hosts called out the behavior of what they did, and they held them accountable for it.
And great. To Shane's credit, he said, I apologize. This was terrible. I handled that wrong.
Yeah, I handled that totally wrong.
Don't think Shake really apologized for anything, I don't believe.
And Shane did say, this is an excuse, but Shane did say, which this could be a power of editing, he said, we hear it differently than the way you hear on TV. Like, we just hear a little speaker in the room. So, y'all, we're not Shane fans, but I'm just saying we're trying to like see this from all sides.
Yeah, he does say that this is the biggest mistake he made on the show was that scene and kind of blaming Natalie.
Yeah, and blaming Natalie, and then Vanessa again. Oh God, I want to hang out with Vanessa Lachey now.
It's not going to happen.
No, do you?
I do, but I'm a little more realistic.
I've actually heard that Nick Lachey, because y'all, we have a lot of Ohio sissies that still love 98 Degrees. I do too. But apparently Nick Lachey, apparently he's one of those people. He's really, that's not 98 Degrees.
It's not?
No, I think that's Soul Decision.
No, it's not Soul Decision.
That's Savage Garden, isn't it? I think I dreamed you.
You're right.
Yeah, that's Savage
You're right.
Garden.
It is.
I'm looking up, but it's Savage Garden. But I've heard Nick Lachey is actually he's one of those people that looks okay on television, but in real life is really hot.
I believe it, but I've never really been into him. I was into, I think I was into his brother more.
I think his brother's hotter too, or was. Okay. And so, but Vanessa said, Shane, I noticed a difference of what is the difference of when you flirt with Natalie versus when you flirted with Shayna, all you talked about is what she was wearing.
Right.
What is, and Shane didn't really say anything. He kind of was like,
I don't think there's an answer. It was that something in her voice made me think she was hot.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this is a really interesting question because it just tells you guys some of the, when you can't have physical or visual cues, you amp up everything else in your voice, in your flirtiness and behavior. So I guarantee you, it's almost like when we're talking to people on apps, we will try to, it's why people use emojis so much with text, because it's really difficult to communicate tone. Yeah. So it's really hard to do that even when you, without, so I'm sure they're making so extra with the way they're talking, you know, Shayna did.
Yeah. Poodle, what was your response when Shake interrupted and said, but this show's not really about finding a wife. It's about finding love.
Of course it was ridiculous coming from him. He's not wrong though.
Well, but
it's interesting. I disagree with him the way he said it.
This is why I brought this up. We've talked about it because Natalie clapped back and I love that Natalie said, did you read the description?
You knew what the show was going to be. But what he's trying to say is that I can't believe I'm not defending him, y'all. But what I'm saying is there's truth in what he's saying. There's truth in what he's saying. The conceit of the show is love blind? Can two people fall in love sight unseen?
Yeah.
Yes, marriage is a part of it, but that's only a result. What they ask everyone is the premise of the show is love blind?
Yes.
So you can fall in love with someone and not get married. The problem is the show knows that's zero stakes. So yes. He was trying to bring that up. He did not do it successfully.
He did not.
He made it sound like, well, I want to say like love is blurry. And like, you know, so you can have a little bit of physicality. He's trying to have his own show. And I think it would help a lot not to have marriage being the very end, because that scares off 90% of people. That's why the show is going to be, Don't interrupt.
Okay.
That's why the show will always be 90 or maybe 3 of the 5 couples won't be married.
But I want to counter that and say it would be a less exciting show.
100%. Totally agree with you.
I agree with you as well. And because I think Natalie, even when Natalie talks about her and Nick, that was kind of what was the impetus for that pressure cooker for them of what are we going to say? I do, I don't. And that was a lot of their fights. And they said, we don't really have as many of those fights now but I agree with you. It's a gimmick. It's a gimmick.
See, the thing about it is, The Bachelor, we say that it wouldn't be the same, but The Bachelor, they get engaged at the end. So, and that's high stakes. So what if they got engaged?
Mm-hmm.
At the end?
I
know it's not the same stakes. The problem is it needs to sound bonkers to get people interested that they marry. It's like Married at First Sight. You marry it the first time you meet them. You know,
I think because the show, it might be filmed in the same span of time, but when we watch The Bachelor, it's more episodes. It's 2-hour episode. It's just, there's so much more we see. So even though that's just a viewer experience,
I'm giving you a corollary to why I think it would work.
Mm-hmm.
Because marriage is what freaks everyone out. And
yes, it is.
But I understand. But I'm not saying Shake is right here. I'm saying he brings up a point. And they don't like to acknowledge that.
Well, I think with Shake, he thinks he's doing this in a smart way, and he's not. What Shake wants to do is he wants to be the person that pulls back the curtain on the reality TV of the show.
Yep.
But what he doesn't realize is no one wants to pull back the curtain on this.
No. And
including us.
And even if you do, it shouldn't be him to do it.
Yes.
He hasn't earned it. Now, if Sal had said something kind of like he did, if Sal had pushed harder for, I don't think this experiment was right for me. It's hard for blah, blah, blah. It's hard for two people to do this. But Shake has no leverage to say these things. Yeah,
none.
I agree.
None.
But I'm not saying he's right. I'm saying there was a point there.
I agree with that. So they show the Shane and Shayna clip. Y'all, by the way,
she is squinting like a motherfucker.
I just was about to say, there are going to be so many memes of her just...
And pursing her lips.
There's so many memes.
Like Janet the Muppet. That's true. Time.
Like Janet the Muppet, y'all. And so they show kind of... They show the clip of when she is going back to tell Shane she has feelings. And we find out, y'all, production set Shane up. And that he thought he was going to propose to Natalie. And then he goes in there and he hears Shayna's voice. So again, it's not giving y'all, we've heard a lot of shitty shit about Shane, but it does show y'all, you got to remember this show is setting people. The beauty of this show, especially while they're in the pods, is it's basically like Big Brother. They have, or Bachelor, they have 100% control of the entire environment and what people experience. And so it fucked with his head when she was doing that. And so, but Natalie talks about that. And Natalie, she like says, I was betrayed, but I appreciated that she told Shane. She was like, yeah, and Shayna, you told me, Shayna, that you were not supportive or that you were supportive of my relationship. And then you said that. And what did you think of Shayna's response to Natalie to that?
She kind of apologizes and she says, you know, I hadn't talked to him in days and blah, blah, blah. And because that, and, but I really needed to make sure he heard me out. I think she wanted to cause drama. I don't know. It's hard for me. It's hard for her to think of her as a sympathetic person when she keeps saying about things like, I don't know, I was with an atheist, but I was with a Christian before. And I thought, well, that doesn't work. So maybe try an atheist. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not
so much.
Shall we move on to Kyle and Shayna? They talked to them just a little bit.
Yes.
And Kyle said, and y'all, I 100% agree with everything Kyle said.
Yep, so do I.
And he said, why did that meeting happen with this was trying to call out a little bit of production. And I think you're right. I think they had to have set him up.
Yep.
And to me, I think probably Shayna was involved with the setup. And I don't think it was a setup for Shayna.
No. I think she, yeah. I think Kyle said that you used me as a backup. That's the only thing I don't necessarily agree with. And not because what Kyle's trying to say. Kyle, she didn't use you as a backup. She used you as a vehicle to get more airtime.
Yes.
100%. That's what she used you for, honey.
And Shayna said...
Oh, Shayna's like, are you speaking for me and telling me how I feel? She tried to she tried to pull the man speaking for me card. And I'm like, sit down, girl. Sit down.
Yeah, it's not.
No.
You're not liked here. You're only liked. We would throw you off the island first, except for Shake.
Yes.
But Shayna says, well, I really should have said no to you. And again, there's so many problems with that. And she's saying, I should have said no to you. But she said it in a way that was like hurtful, and it was in a way that had no remorse in it.
Yes, no remorse at all. And none of the things she said was really remorseful. And she even, again, that's where Shake tries to say, well, can we not talk about the drive to continue being on the show as a driving factor?
I understand why the Lachey's can't talk about that.
My mouth dropped open when he said it.
But honestly, I really wish you could almost see the rest of the people on the stage. You were like, wait, did he just call out the whole thing's a show? Did he just say the show instead of the experiment? Oh my God, remember, we can't say the show. We have to say the experiment.
He did say the show, y'all, and they said it's an experiment. But
I loved it.
He's 100% right.
I think he's right too. Now, do I think that some people really got involved and find love on the show? I do. I do. You know what? He's right. There's two things. I think there are people that I do believe there are people that come on this show that are. I kind of think Iyana was one of those people who was just like, I don't necessarily want to be famous. I'm just trying to do something radical to
find. Yeah, she's a normie.
To find love in my life. And that's what and ironically enough, I think Sal was one of those people too. Yeah. I want to do something radical. So that's why it's a little bit speaking for everyone with Shake. And honestly, I don't think Deep wanted to find fame.
But Mallory, Jarrett, Shane.
I think even Nick and Danielle. I think Nick probably. And Danielle wanted to be reality stars. And yep. So I think
Kyle
did.
Probably did too, in a way.
I think Kyle wanted to be a reality star. Natalie did not. Nope. So he is right, but it's not right about everyone. And I think if Shay could even said some people, but y'all, it was and Nick Lachey just was like. Or Nick, as in Danielle's Nick, looks at him and says, y'all, they hate him. He said, you're so unbearable.
I unfollowed you. It sounds like the most ridiculous thing to say. That's why I unfollowed you. But it's such a big deal, you guys, when your whole game is a reality star. That's like death when someone unfollows you.
So you're like, okay, Shake's right. But then he follows up with, he's like, this whole thing, that's why this is so incredible, because he said, you know, I had a hard time taking this seriously. And that's where you go, wait a minute. I know you people want to be on TV, but you're getting married, legit married, right. And you're not taking this seriously. Like, ugh.
Yeah. I'm of two minds here, because I want to say he was coming up from a perspective of questioning the authenticity of any of it, because one part of it is fake.
Yes. And, yes. Yes. Yeah. Good
which
point.
Which I think is a fair place. Now, but does it mean you can throw it all away? No. But I understand his argument, and I wish it was addressed a little bit. But I understand why they can't.
Well, it's because he's an idiot and has no emotional intelligence. Right. So I think if he thought out the argument better, yeah.
Sadly, I think he's really intelligent. And that probably gets that's probably how he gets through the world.
Yeah.
If he was, and that's how he even attracts these women at all.
Oh yeah.
And I want to say one thing. So some other Shayna jaw dropping moments when she said, actually, Kyle, I felt really manipulated when you gave me your mother's ring. She said it and everyone kind of went, you feel manipulated.
you were the one that. Yeah, that was actually whatever. What else? She said some other shit too. I know you.
There was just about. Y'all. She was kind of quiet the rest of the time.
She was kind of quiet.
She just.
She's over there sucking on those lemons.
Just yes, exactly. Yep, she almost needed to be going when she was speaking the entire time. Do we talk about...
Let's talk about Iyana and Jarrett.
This
was interesting because whereas y'all, one of the most kind of explosive and jaw-dropping moments of the show was talked about pretty rationally and not... It really wasn't that explosive of a moment. But what we're talking about is we're talking about Iyana... They discussed it rationally, yes. We're talking about Iyana and Jarrett, and basically Iyana, they're talking about the moment, y'all. The moment
Mallory, Jarrett... Iyana. Like the moment that people and they I'm glad they said this. This was the most cringeworthy moment of the entire series.
They said that and they talked about
this is the conversation of Mallory and Jarrett at the first couples meeting.
Iyana says I couldn't watch it with him. She's like, it didn't make me sad. She's like, it didn't make me angry, but it was kind of re-traumatizing. And then Vanessa fucking Lachey jumps in and says, you know, and she looks at her husband, Nick, and says, I'm his second wife, and I never thought I would be someone's second wife, but thank God I am, because I realize this is meant to be.
And I would like to say that's fair, but this is a little different.
A little different. This is way different.
He didn't propose to the other woman, and then she said no, and the same afternoon proposed to you.
Yes.
That is the difference.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
And so I liked her metaphor. I don't know if it's the same thing.
I know. I agree. But just the fact that she said it, but I liked her metaphor. So
I kind of went.
So they show the Garrett and the Mallory conversation.
Jared,
I'm sorry. Sorry.
Is that a spell check and you just said it?
Yeah.
Like you normally do. I could. We're in trouble if someone ever fucks up with a teleprompter. He will read anything.
Yeah.
That's why I wrote longhand, because it reminds me of the ideas I wrote. I know you have to write on your computer.
Yeah.
But
no one cares. Somebody fell asleep.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with her ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin Ann,
The Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, queens.
I just said how I prefer to write.
So Jarrett and Mallory, they watch. They're all watching the clip, but you know, before Ayana said, I can't watch that with him, and then Vanessa Lachey says, I just feel like an ass because I just put you on blast and made you watch that with your husband.
Yeah.
And Ayana said, this actually was hurtful and this made me angry to see. But Ayana, again, like a grown adult, says, I'm not mad at Mallory because Mallory doesn't owe me anything, but I'm mad at Jarrett.
She said, I was furious with him when I saw it. Yeah.
That was, oh, God, that's a good point.
And what's interesting, and Jarrett comes right out, he doesn't really joke about it. Like, he's played a lot of stuff off. Most of the time, he was pretty jokey with everybody because mm-hmm. he was Mr. kind of good time on the show. Mm-hmm. And he said, it was an inappropriate conversation. I apologize for making you look crazy. When he was talking to Ayana. And I said, this is a great, and then Sal comes in and says, this was really disrespectful of you. And Jarrett, you said it was a joke. I should have never really, you should have never really explained it to me that way. But in the moment, I can kind of understand why you did it. But still, if you would have just said what happened, it would have been a lot better than.
He is seething while he says this. Y'all, he is still, it is very close for him and Mallory still, at least for him.
It does feel... Ayana must have done a lot of work to get over that, because honestly, for me, that would have been over if I was either of them. If I'd seen that, can you like if you were with someone now,
and hearing that kind of with you in the room?
I don't think I would get over that either. I mean, but you know, it's their life and I know they've been through, you know, we talked about this trauma kind of bonded Jarrett and Iyanna together. And yeah. So sometimes and I don't mean this is in a good way. I don't mean it's a good or a bad way. I just mean, it's kind of a voyeuristic noticing way. Sometimes when people are bonded by trauma in good ways, they can say, well, this isn't as bad as that trauma.
True.
So we made that. But also in bad ways, it can keep people in relationships because we had this trauma. Whatever right. that is for them, I kind of think they have that.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I'm just saying, looking at that going...
I could never could, but I'm not in a relationship bonded by trauma. So I would be, if I heard my partner say that, I'd be like, yeah, I'm out.
It wouldn't be just the saying of it and they told me later. It would have been how it was explained to me at the time. I guarantee you, Iyanna probably never heard about it or talked about it, or she didn't bring it up in that conversation.
Yeah.
And he minimized it for her. And boy, though, I can't even imagine. I think you're right about the trauma bonding. I hope they either talk to someone, because that doesn't go away. Something like that doesn't go away. Especially when you're right there.
It does seem like for both couples, there's a lot of conversations that are happening. For Mallory, she
apologized to Iyanna.
She apologized. You also understood her. You did see her point of view, because she said, what is hard, y'all, is that her and Jarrett had a deep emotional connection and they had never seen each other. So this was the first time they saw one another. She said, I'd had a couple of shots because I was so nervous. And
you can tell she is a person consumed by her anxiety, even on the show.
Yeah, she is.
The reunion, you didn't necessarily see it as much on the show, but y'all, she is paralyzed by her anxiety.
No, you see that. And then, so she kind of explains it, but then Sal follows up with, but what kind of investment in our relationship did you have to do that?
Yeah, they're still, boy, he feels still really hurt.
It feels fresh to me when I watch it.
And you know why? She kind of turned it back on him and she made him feel bad about worrying about her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm really glad they're not together.
Me too.
Spoiler alert. I think you're right about Jarrett and Iyanna. I think they'll wind up staying together. I don't know how long a trauma bond will last.
Well, sometimes trauma bonding.
They have to make their own history, I'll say. They have to create something to last. But he has a big family, and that's something she wanted.
Yeah.
And so maybe they seem really happy. It's a year.
And they both seem to have a strong sense of faith. Mm-hmm. So I think that they would rely on that.
Faith and values.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? She brought up a good point. She talked about it. You know, she said, our relationship has been hard. This marriage has been hard. And she brought up, it's something Jake and I say on the show all the time. You can be with different people, but Iyanna said, but we have the same values.
Yes.
Even though, because y'all were finding the whole him being an extrovert, him being an introvert, it's becoming not as much of an issue. She's going out more. He's staying in more. Again, I think the show just blew this up because there wasn't anything there.
Good for them. I think they showed us the grossest parts and insinuated stuff that may not have been true.
I agree.
And
as with Danielle and Nick. The next couple that did that with Danielle.
They're fine.
They're
fine. And
weirdly,
she's acting like maybe it's married life has changed her and made her more secure. She seems great. She's like, we're having fun. We're in bliss.
They've already had couples therapy.
God, I'm happy. I can't believe it. We were both like, never gonna work. I said they'd break up before the reunion.
Somebody is listening to us going, God, these gays are manipulated so
they
easily.
Don't know anything.
We don't. But now I'm like, they're gonna be together forever. But Nick says it like, he said such a beautiful thing that Nick needed to learn. He said, I've learned to listen more and talk less.
Trying to fix.
Talk less, don't fix. Because that is Nick's thing. We said that. Yeah. Like, I have to say, not to pat ourselves on the back, but I was like, did they listen to the show? Because some
there's
of them,
no way they did.
They didn't. They don't. Again, none of them are paying even $5 for this.
I don't think Danielle would listen after I did her mother.
It's true. Y'all, it's true. And so we find out that they're doing fine. He's dancing on tables.
There's a video of what it looks like in their house. I wanted to see one of Jared and Iyana's place. I was a little annoyed we didn't get to see that.
I did too. We might have. They just didn't edit it in the show.
Yeah, maybe they're just not interesting enough.
I'm telling you, that is it. That is what I'm saying, y'all. They're just not. Did you get teary-eyed when we found out that Nick gave Danielle his great wedding ring?
And y'all, the cat and the dog, we were so worried about not getting together. Yes, the cat is still hissing at the dog, but it seems like they're cohabitating. And if the cat and the dog can get along, then so can Nick and Danielle.
So can Nick and Danielle. All right, let's talk about...
I was unbelievably moved by them. Same. More than I thought I would be.
Same.
I could not believe how moved I was. Maybe I'm that easily manipulated.
Well, I'm going to say this. Don't go out of a soapbox because we already did on the last episode and we still have other people to talk about and I don't want to do a two-hour reunion show. But
too late.
This reunion shows to me that the producers edited this show falsely because the couples we're seeing now are not the couples that we're seeing throughout the show and the couples that we saw at the wedding.
It's fraudacity.
It is.
Y'all, if you haven't read that article, it's in Forbes. If you look up deceptive editing, Love is Blind, can't remember the guy's name, but it really nailed exactly what we were thinking about the show. And it nailed the reasons why it's not really healthy for reality shows to go this way. It was really interesting because there were people who loved the surprise endings. There were people who liked that. And there were people who said the whole time, oh, this is what I thought the whole time. I knew exactly that. Great. But we're both students of the story. And the story was not leading us towards most of those conclusions.
It wasn't.
No.
Let's talk about Sal and Mal. Mal and
Malvador.
Sal.
First things first, they say, you guys talked about going on a date after. And they say, we did. We met for coffee. And weirdly, I think both of them, he's still pissed off. I think he has regrets about the experience for himself.
I think so, too.
Y'all, Mallory's just pretty shut down in general. But they seem super civil. He's still a little resentful, but. But they said the connection wasn't there, by the way. Let me finish that.
Yes. But Nick said, again, what we were all thinking, because Nick Lachey said, you two were the hardest for me to figure out. And that's where Sal talks about. He said, you know, there were things that happened that I don't feel comfortable talking about now because it's history, because we're not together. Shane's like, good job, man. Good job.
What do you think those were? I was dying.
I think a lot of stuff, I said this before, I think a lot of stuff came out with, at least on Mallory's side, there's a lot of family stuff for her that came out that they were trying to deal with.
Her family was so against it.
Yeah, I also bet there was some. I have a hunch that there was some sexual things. I don't think they were sexually compatible.
Okay,
I could see that. I just feel that.
But why would he bring that up?
I think he's saying there are things that. I'm not saying it's on him or her. Right. I'm just saying that he was saying.
Oh, I
things
see. You think she wanted, was?
I don't know. I just see them not. He was so like effusive and passionate. And I see that. And she's so not. And she, Mallory is one of those people who keeps her life in boxes. Mm-hmm. And there's boxes around 100%. Her. and she lets you open up certain boxes. But Sal is the type of person who comes in.
He wants
in,
to open them all, yeah.
He comes in like a wave, and he just wants to flood every single box with water and just embrace you. And that is suffocating for her. And I bet in bed, I bet you they did not have great sex, because that's when he wants to be very intimate and connect with her. And that is so vulnerable and raw for her that she can't.
It's true. And
that's just my guessing.
No. I completely buy that. And I completely understand. I love to keep a lot of things in boxes, but after a while you just can't. But someone like Sal would have smothered me. Definitely. Yeah. You have to be a little cat-like around me, y'all. You can't find out everything. You can't say, what are we? A month after we're started dating.
Yes. And for Sal, he probably is taking those boxes personally, because he feels like there's something wrong with him that she wasn't able to let him in those boxes when it has nothing to do with Sal. No. It's how Mallory is in the world. That's what I
said. She said, we're very different. We communicate very differently. And I was, you don't just communicate differently. You don't speak each other's language. Like,
that's a good point.
When it comes to how to relate. And similar to that would be Natalie and Shane, but it's a much easier, smaller level. They really didn't have the emotional capital. She could not engage with him.
When he says, I felt unheard in our arguments, I felt like I felt you didn't hear me. She apologized for that.
It wasn't enough, though. I think Mallory, it's interesting, because Mallory was the one we could not figure out the whole season, because she really did not show a lot of who she really wanted. She wasn't really clear about that.
And we started to kind of get into that, and then fucking Shake thinks he's going to be the heir.
Stop!
the heir of wisdom. And Shane actually jumps in, because Shake's trying to say something stupid. And Shane says, dude, he just said he didn't want to air this shit, and you're doing this. And Jarrett jumps in and says, Shake, you're just trying to put people down. And Shake's like, no, I want to be real. Because
everybody's
people,
fake as fuck. I'm the only one who's real.
Everybody's fake as fuck. I bring it 100%. I bring it 100%.
Y'all, if you're on a reality show and you're screaming, I keep it 100, I keep it 100, you're the asshole.
Cut to when Poodle's on Big Brother in 6 months, there's going to be a clip.
I keep it 100. I've been nothing but keep it 100, you assholes. You motherfuckers. I'll tell you. I've been nothing but 100 with you. I've been real. This is real. Y'all are fake as shit.
You better put your Big Brother application in our Dyna list. Put it in the Dyna list. Y'all, that's our list thing.
I can see me wearing a big old scarf over my head, Grey Garden style, and exiting that house in a huff.
Oh, yes.
I can see it.
I can see it too. Oh.
No, y'all, the way I'm going to play the game, the way I'm going to play the game is very much the bunkie model, or the you'd be everyone's friend, and I'd be talking shit about all of them, and then I'd be making my plans behind their backs.
You would.
Yep. You got to start early. Got to start early, but you don't create alliances until like week. You don't start. People start alliances so early. You got to be smarter about it. Got to have your friends first, otherwise.
Put it on the list for us to do this week when I come back.
I still say, if I would have been in the house, first of all, if I would have been in the house with the cookout, that one last season, I would have convinced Tiffany to keep me longer. Because I would have convinced her if she was, the only way for her to win would be if they kicked off one member of the cookout. And I would say, no, it's fine. It's still, you could still get the mission of the cookout. You still all do it all. And it's the only way she could have won. And that was her main big miscalculation, is not keeping Claire. So that's all I'll go with. But if that was the biggest heartbreak for me, because Tiffany should have won that season. She miscalculated. One miscalculation. I'll go.
Okay. Let's talk about Shake and Deep Dee. And so Nick just goes right for the Nick Lachey goes for the and just looks right at him and says, "Why did you do Love Is Blind?"
To Shake, yeah,
yeah, Poodle. I've seen a lot of really just fucked up responses to questions in our line of work of watching this show. And how many reunions have we seen now? Dozens?
Yeah.
What did you think of Shake's response that it's not different than making a huge purchase?
It's like making, oh, wow. You know what? That is the point I was making earlier. He thinks so analytically. He is thinking about a wife like he would look, he would shop for a new Tesla.
Yes.
What's the warranty like? What's this?
And he even says, yeah, you've got to read the fine print. I want more than anything to this work, anything for this to work.
But that's the point. You want it to work so much, but there's an element that's out of your control. You can't micromanage. You can't pick your perfect woman by asking if can she fit on their shoulders. But he was asking all these questions to micromanage. He was trying to weight the scales for himself, literally, and to see what weight he could not take. As he said, because there's too much distinction between your weight and blah blah blah. Then it's going to be too fucking hard for me.
Too hard. I want this shit to work,
y'all.
I want this shit to work. I'm ready to go deep.
What you don't know about him, or maybe you already figured it out, he is a fragile, fragile person. He gets so, so offended at anything. He has the level, he says, I can take it all. He takes everything personally, all that is to make sure you don't break his fragile little shell. All that life he's created.
Well, I forgot who said on the show, but it's true, y'all. I agree. I think Shake is a narcissist.
100%.
You just described how a narcissist often reacts to criticism of themselves or to anything they do. They take affront to it so much. And then we're going to talk about probably, y'all, the best fucking part of this whole tell-all, and it had nothing to do with any of these cast members. It was motherfucking Vanessa goddamn Lachey.
Vanessa Lachey Jr. Esquire. So they're talking, and this is basically in the deeps.
This is when she said, you were on the wrong show.
Right. And that's what Vanessa said. I started this three times. You were on the wrong show. And she said, so what if your wife that you met, what if she got mangled in an auto accident? What if she gained weight? And she's like, I hope to fucking God, the man who right here beside me would stand by my side. Y'all, she is giving full Steel Magnolias.
This is a Julia Sugarbaker takedown of someone.
This is Julia Sugarbaker.
Yes. And she said, you berated these women. You took all these women down. But really, through this entire process, Mr. Shake,
all to find someone to fuck.
Fuck.
And I went, go.
Y'all.
And I instinctively, because I'm a faggot, screamed. I screamed, yes!
Because that, dear Shake, is the night that the lights went out in Chicago.
I just didn't know. I didn't know what to do with myself.
If I was with you, y'all, when Jake and I watch TV together, it's like electricity. We get, if something's bad,
do it anymore because you hurt my arm.
but if we get excited, we hit each other like kind of when we saw Maria for the first time, if this had happened in front of Jake and I, we would have thrown down our pads and got up and ran around the room.
The couch. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. That's why I don't see movies with you anymore, because there are bruises on my arm afterwards.
You
don't know.
You hit me too.
Yeah, but it's usually with an open hand.
Well, you or pinch. Ever since you were in the coma, you don't hit as hard.
I don't have the same strength.
It's different. Yeah,
I didn't know my own strength.
So basically, they are. Nick Lachey says, "You know, what were you trying to find the conventional dating world that you thought you could find here?" And he's trying to say things like, "I wanted all that, but this just wasn't blah blah blah." And that's when he brings up love is blurry. He's like physical. He's like, you can't just ignore physicality. And I think this is an interesting point to bring up. I wish they could have pushed this, but he's acting like such an asshole. They really can't.
No, they can't because he's such an asshole. Because she even, Vanessa says the whole thing we talked about later when she said, "I saw a change of you and I thought, oh shit, is he looking inward?" And Shake actually says, "Oh no, man, I'm fucking doubling down on who I was at the beginning."
Ugh.
And then Nick Lachey looked at him and said, "So you were lying." And then Shake says, "You know, all these women here are beautiful, but really the only person I'm attracted to is Vanessa."
And then
it's nature, baby. We're animals.
She said, "It's nature, baby. We're animals." And he's like, "You treat animals."
Nick Lachey said, yes. "You treat animals." And he said, "We're human beings." And then Shake's like going to say, "Oh, dude, the vet community is going to be really upset that you said that." And I'm thinking, no one gives a fuck about if the vet communities are. Are we going to have the National Vet Association put out da-da-da-da-da in response to the Love is Blind reunion?
I don't think vets are going to claim Shake.
I don't think so either.
He's going to be drummed out of the veterinary fraternity.
And then with his fucking big dick energy, Nick Lachey says, "Dude, you're digging a hole for yourself. I don't like someone who treats human beings like the way you do. It's wrong. It's wrong." And if there was a pat of butter or, I don't know, maybe a little bit of baby oil, let's just say I would have had to pause the television.
Okay, got it.
It was hot.
And even Danielle, and she's been kind of quiet the whole time. And they're talking about, she's like, "Deep T is hands down the most amazing person on this stage." And all the women, all the girls are like, "Ah, motherfucker!" They just jump on him when he talks about her. Because then they bring up the auntie remark. And Deep Sea says, "You lack the self-awareness to realize that there was anything wrong that you were with what you were saying." She's like, "That's how I knew when I was watching this show." She's like, "That's how I knew none of this was even possible with you. You lack the awareness and just something you can't find."
And Natalie says, y'all, again, this goes for y'all. I know he's like got real, real, real problems, but I'm going to say this again. I don't think Shane at his heart is a bad guy. I think he's got a lot of fucking shit because Shane and Jarrett were the only two guys that went to Deep T and told her all the shit.
Yep, it was those two
that Shake was saying about the girls did as well. But right. Y'all,
the men heard the real story.
They broke bro code and told her what he was saying about her.
Which makes sense because that's why she didn't want to do the wedding.
And Natalie says,
didn't want to marry him.
Said what we saw on television was such a watered down version of the shit he was saying.
Oh, I can't imagine.
I can't imagine.
He's a vile person, you guys.
I want him to go away and just go DJ somewhere that I don't have to see.
I think I said this before. Guess who? I think I told you this before. He slipped into Stephanie from 90 Day Fiancé's, Stephanie Matos. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Of Stephanie and Erica. He slipped into her DMs. Yeah. Can you imagine that couple? Actually, even she could see through it. She could see through him.
Yeah.
She might do it for clout, though.
Maybe. Although she wouldn't because he would be bad press. It would make her look bad.
That's right.
Shouldn't do it. We're almost wrapping up. There's just a couple. There's like a little bit. We're just going to be 2 hours longer than the finale, but who cares?
There's a little bit of Kyle and Shayna. No. One more thing with Vanessa. She said, Vanessa says, looks at Deep T and says, "Well, I know you won't have a problem finding love And I hope you continue to figure it out, Shake.
Yep. Just fucking says.
The star of the show.
Of the reunion, whatever the fuck it is.
So, y'all, Kyle and Shayna was just kind of...
a little bit more, yeah.
But there wasn't much more. I mean, basically, Vanessa said, like, did you feel like you were trying to Shayna? She said, I feel like you were trying to push it, or you were trying to fake something. And Nick Lachey said, do you even think she was really in love with you? And Kyle said, I want to know more about the hesitation. And Shayna says, it was her faith. It really was her faith. And she has said, I should have never said yes to you. She's like, it was a people-pleasing moment to me, and I shouldn't have said yes to you. I don't believe that. I think it was a she wanted to be on the show moment. But
yeah, I really don't think she was attracted to him.
I don't think, because even the way she said, like, you're totally handsome. I don't, y'all, because we've seen, you're just not into people.
And I think it would have been better if he was white. Oh!
I think you're probably right.
Sorry.
I think you're right about that. I think you're very right about that. Speculation. But
Complete speculation.
Here, what did you think of Kyle saying, my biggest regret is I should have asked Deep T to marry me? And saw what it was.
I think he was trying to just start. I think he was just trying to be thirsty and try to start more rumors.
I think so.
I don't
too.
Think they'd be a good match. I don't see him as an authentic person.
I think he's a clout chaser too, actually. Yeah. I think he wants to be a reality star. His body, but I'll follow him on Instagram, especially for his shirtless pictures.
Oh,
because
my God. His body's amazing.
His body's amazing. Woo.
I'm telling y'all, if he was gay, he could get...
Especially with that nose ring now.
An old guy. He could get a hot old gay, and they'd pay everything for him.
Set for life!
Anyway, I think that's about it. There was just...
there was a little bit...
Shake was like, yeah, I could hook that... I could facilitate that for you, bro.
Yeah, shut the fuck up, Shake. Let's talk about Natalie and Shane, which again... Nothing really new came from this tell-all with them, to be honest. We kind of already knew this. They really did say that Shane really did say that, and he says this, and so does she, that it was the fight. We were all kind of like, what happened before?
The fight we didn't see, you guys. The fight
we've heard rumors, yes. But they really, Natalie said that changed really in that moment. The fight changed everything. They said he's remorseful and he's apologized, but she looked at it as a wake up call. And then I think that I don't think Shane said this in a victim way. I was kind of impressed the way Shane came at her. I don't even want to say came at her, because he basically just said, I fucked up most of this. I'm the one that's mostly to blame. But what he's wanted all along is for Natalie to kind of see his hurt, to see that he says, I know I need constant validation, but he kind of wants her to see that and apologize for that. And
he doesn't feel hurt either. Like, kind of like Sal was talking about, he doesn't feel like she's taking what he's saying seriously.
Yes.
And well, no, it was interesting. What he said was, I have to be better at being less reactive. That's something I know. And she said, I believe he's remorseful. I don't think he meant it. It doesn't change anything. We have too many big issues. And he said, there's a reason, you know, that we got there. And I think you haven't acknowledged that. And she is very reticent to acknowledge her part in it, because I think that might be too hard for her. Because it's easier for her to say, we were too different. And instead of saying, I did this, or, and I will say, you guys, if you're having an argument or having problems in a relationship, it's easier for everybody if it feels like saying, you know what? I definitely had a part in this too, because it does take two to tango. Even if someone is being complete, when Shane says I'm being reactive, then there was something she was saying that he was being reactive to.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So I'm saying Shane is obviously acts like a child and a blowhard, and has these kind of like goes off and is very reactive. But there had to be something in their communication style that wasn't working for both of them that too. And he was wanting her to own up. And she did. She says, I apologize for making it feel like you weren't good enough because I feel like you were more than good enough. And I guarantee you, she just never said it.
That is a lot of things in, I know from just seeing relationships. It's sometimes people feel like to give a compliment or to validate someone in a relationship means that they're giving them power over them.
Yep.
And I think Natalie feels that way. And that's really hard
totally
for her
understand
to
understand it.
It seems simple for us, but to watch it.
And it's not about getting power, because if you're in a relationship with someone, whether it's, you know, marriage, even like a sister or a parent or even a friend, power dynamics exist. But if you're trying to be in a two-way street relationship, you have to give up a lot of that and just give a compliment, find out how to talk to that person. Mm-hmm. And discuss it. I don't think she was willing. She was willing to listen, but I don't know if anything ever got overhauled in her communication style.
Well, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Anyway.
So they tried dating afterwards, but it didn't work, y'all. So they said she couldn't move on from the fight. So they both feel like there's kind of love there, and they're both just seem really sad about it. So
I wrote down that I could not breathe in this conversation.
It really,
Shane is still so there raw from this a year later.
And other, like Nick and Danielle both seem to, like Nick talks about that he and Shane are still friends, and so it's hard for them to see.
And of course Nick was crying talking about it. That's all I have. And we do find out that Shane did meet with Shayna, but she's like, there was nothing romantic.
There's nothing romantic. And then, that's really kind of it. That they kind of talk to the couples.
Jared
and see what's
Yana that says that, married life isn't easy, blah, blah. Some things I need to work on. He's like, things we already talked about, things that we're doing prior. Yeah, we already kind of talked about.
Oh, we were right. They did fucking Mexico, y'all.
That's right.
She got that. But I love the way Yana said, that's information I wanted to share on my own terms.
Yeah. No, that's it's true. Right. But y'all, right. we know they fucked.
Yeah,
we knew
y'all.
It.
She saw him naked in that town. She was like, give me
she
that D.
She wanted that D.
Give me that D.
Sal says, and Deep T says, I met a lot of great friends. I didn't find a husband, but I met some friends. Sal says he's very happy for the married couples. And then we have the series that the ultimatum.
Can we talk about though this last question? And I thought what a great way to line this up. But Vanessa asked. Vanessa Lachey says, how do you know when someone is the one? And Iana said, for me, it was when my emotions and my logic aligned.
That's an interesting point.
I thought that was a lot of us ask ourselves, how do we know when's the one? A lot of us just think about the emotional component of the one. But that very much is how I felt when I knew that my person was the one. So I just thought that everybody has their own way. I just thought that was a beautiful way to kind of, because this show was all emotions in the beginning.
Well,
and then when they meet each other, they have to start using logic.
It can't be all emotion, because it's just not going to work that way.
That from experience.
Yeah, and it can't really be all logic.
Tried that too.
You can't really plan that out. I think that's what Shake wanted. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know. I think there's a better word than logic. I might think about, it's a really interesting point. I think to me. I think there has to be, when you know someone's the one, I think there is always a sense of finding someone who is kind of will always not necessarily have your back, but you will feel a support from.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a pretty good way to explain it. I was trying to think. So I think a lot of us with our brains, the logic part of our brain, if you will, is always trying to find a way out. It's always trying to figure out if it's not perfect on paper, if it's not like the notebook, let's get out. And the emotion side is always going to pull us back.
Yeah. Then you get that D. And you get that D in Mexico and you say, I'm in.
I think that's it. This was a bonkers reunion.
This was a great reunion. This is it. Yeah, y'all. It is confirmed from an inside source, meaning my neighbor who is an editor on this show. He wouldn't tell me anything, but she did. There is After the Altar. We don't know when, but they are going to be coming up with people from this cast. So when those drop, you can believe you, me, and the Queen of Sheba, we're going to be talking about it. So
hopefully they'll be more interesting than season one.
Yes, hope so. Yes. But until then, y'all, hey, if you are on this, I just want to mention that Love After Lockup, if you're listening to that, if you're on the $5 tier and you're listening to that Love After Lockup this week, it's going to be on the $5 tier because each season, when the season starts,
on the free feed.
It's going to be on the free feed, but we put it on the free feed, but I also put it for all the patrons.
Right,
so,
yes.
It's going to be, if you're going, wait a minute, I'm a $5 person, Maddie made a mistake and dropped the Love After Lockup season 4 premiere. Nope, we do that on purpose so everybody can experience, you can try before you buy. If you like Love After Lockup, if you listen to that episode, there are many more episodes than 10. There's like 34. So that is on the $8 cringe tier.
It depends. Sometimes it's like 12, sometimes like 15.
It just keeps going,
Season 3 was 68 episodes.
Yeah. So that, if you like that episode, that it's our favorite show on television, but that will be at the $8 tier, but you'll be able to listen to it this week. It'll be on the $5 tier.
I can't believe season 3 was 68 episodes.
I know, it was a lot. Y'all go to our Linktree link. Come see us live. We're going to be in Portland and Seattle this weekend, bitches. March
the 12th.
Yes, the 11th. It's a birthday show. It's a birthday show. Oh, I'm excited. So y'all.
The world just, we'll have an earthquake and the world just open up and swallow us.
Well.
I don't have to hear about the birthday show anymore.
We'll see if we do shows in October, what you say.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. I don't want people to know it's my birthday.
I'll tell them.
Yeah, you will. You'll tell everyone.
Y'all go to realitygaze.com for that. Go to our Instagram for our Linktree link. You can see some of our memes that our sissy Christina has been putting out. Y'all, we appreciate you so much for jumping in. A lot of you are new to this and jumped on this back. Welcome to Love is Blind. It was a great, great time. We'll see you for Ultimatum
Ultimatum on April 6th. We will be, I'm pretty sure that's a Friday, but we will be probably putting out the first.
Oh my God.
What?
What are we doing on April 6th, April 1st through like April 10th? We're doing like,
oh my
six
God,
shows.
We're on tour.
We're on tour doing like six shows back to back. We're going to get fucked by this.
We're fucked.
So we're going to put it out as soon as we can, y'all.
We're fucked royally.
We're literally, that's going to be one of the busiest times that we're going to be.
I don't know where we're going to record it. We'll be halfway in between DC and Philly.
We might have to do another road trip show when we're driving from DC to Philly. I'm going to get the camera.
Oh my God.
We're going to have to do a road trip show again, y'all. Another
God,
road trip
I hated
show.
Those. No! You know what? It would be the only way we could do that.
It would be the only way.
We could bang out three episodes from Philly to DC. I'm actually, y'all, there's anxiety in my chest right now thinking about us doing that again.
Y'all,
I'm driving.
No, you're not. On that note, y'all, we're going to let you go. But remember, keep asking yourself until next season the important question, Poodle.
Why is Vanessa Lachey the queen of everything?
Why is she the queen of everything?
And also, is love blind?
Blind.
sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.